What did we think of the black purple black combo, Jordan?
It looked better on TV than it did on Twitter.
Agreed.
I'll agree. I'll agree. Yep.
That's all I'll say.
No, that's what are you?
No, just continue, Jason. Just continue.
I didn't make that graphic. I don't care. It's fine with me.
Oh, yes. I'm here for Sassy Jason.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Wheel Route Podcast. This here is mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends, where we talk about college football and we talk about and break down in-depth lifestyle and decisions that we make thereby. You can find the Wheel Route at www.thewheelroute.com. Find us on Twitter at the Wheel Route. Find us on Instagram at Wheel Route Podcast. And Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher are the three ways that you can download the show. You can also stream it from the website. My name is Logan Whitehouse, coming at you from Stuart, Florida. You can find me on Twitter at LogOneTheDon. And guys, I know I was bragging on the weather last episode, but it's been cold. It's actually been cold here in South Florida. It was 42 degrees this morning, Jason.
Okay.
Oh, my stars.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I heard tell of some people up north that had frost on their cars. So, anyhow.
Wow. What a shame.
You know, the humidity is low, though, so we have large temperature fluctuations throughout the day here in South Florida because we're still getting a pretty good high-angle sun. So, you know, we're going from, like, 42 degrees to, like, 77 just throughout the day, which is kind of crazy.
I can't even tell you how sorry I am that I asked for elaboration.
Well, you know, Jason, last week we learned about the rational method for determining stormwater runoff flows off of a parking lot.
We did. I got rave reviews on that, actually.
This week we're talking, what are we talking, latitudes? Latitudes and longitudes.
Sure.
Who else is on this podcast?
My name is Jordan Schenk. I'm in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I'm on Twitter.com at ShenkJordan. It is also cold here in Harrisonburg. It brings to mind one of the great tweets of all time from a man who I guess should go nameless now because he's in a bit of hot water. But former NFL wide receiver tweeted in all caps that when we played in that cold weather, it was cold, man.
When we played in cold, we was cold.
When we played in the cold weather, we was cold.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can relate. We are podcasting.
Thank you.
And it's cold.
I am Jason Crick. I'm also in Harrisonburg, where, yeah, it's real cold now. It's not fun. I don't love the cold. I'm excited to break down strategy on how to avoid spoilers for The Last Jedi for the next 48 hours.
I think don't tweet, but that's a standard rule.
That's all. That's
right?
All. You can only not tweet so much.
You got those sick days banked up, buddy? Now's the time to use them.
Just go into hiding.
Right.
Stay home off of Twitter.
Bar the doors.
Stay home and just watch all of the Sopranos.
Just me and my puzzle games on my phone.
Right.
Every now and then you take a break to watch one of the trailers just to see if you can think up anything. That's it. You guys, what do you guys got to drink tonight?
I have, it is a Death by Coconut Irish Porter.
Wow.
From Jeez. Oscar Blues.
That's pretty busy.
Yeah, this was a gift for helping a friend move this weekend. He's a big, big rare craft beer guy and gave me one of his not-so-rares as a thank you.
Friend, doing me something okay.
Friend of the podcast, Marcel Burrow. I don't know if he listens or not, but former San Jose State lineman back in the day.
Oh.
So, thank you, Marcel.
The Trojans.
My day was
Spartans.
Poorly run on my part, so Jordan gifted me a Bell's Two Hearted Ale, America's favorite beer.
Mm. I would agree, that's a good beer.
It is.
No, it won
favorite,
like a national.
Favorite is.
No, it won like a national, like it made headlines because it was named America's best beer, which, yeah.
Well, sure.
Debatable, but very good.
Well, right. What's not debatable in this day and age we live, though, you know?
You're saying with certainty that of all the beers.
Of every single beer.
For sure say.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep, it's thanks. A no-doubter. It's a lock.
Have a swig. All right.
What are you
gentlemen.
Drinking, Logan?
Oh, sorry. I have a little bit of bourbon. Polished off my last two. The wife and I polished off my last two Mick Ultras last night. So,
Woo!
You know, classic Monday.
Right.
Ranger.
Monday night football. Just
yeah.
Gotta stay hydrated.
We're watching the home team take down the Pats, you know?
That's right.
So, yeah, I got some bourbon, but just keeping it low-key this evening.
Strong.
With liquor, you know, as one does. That's right. It is the season. Jordan, you got any fun Christmas decor up in the crib?
Not yet. I am burning a Christmassy candle, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
It smells of the season in here.
Yeah, I think it's like Christmas spiced apple or something. It's very nice.
Right. And I know Jason definitely has some Christmas stuff up in his apartment. He got Christmas Wi-Fi. Is that true
no.
or no?
What,
no. Oh, no, no. No Christmas Wi-Fi.
Fake news.
A joke?
So no tree, no shrub.
No, we...
No garland.
We replaced the light bulb in the bathroom, feeling a little festive.
Oh. Wow.
Wait, so you can pee in the light, or is it like Christmassy light?
Well, it's two lights on either side of the mirror, so one of them was dead, so we replaced it. Now I can see my whole face in the mirror.
So there's nothing Christmassy about
it. It's a big month. It's a big month.
Yeah. Wow.
We're really feeling...
Do you guys have a tree up down there?
Yeah, we did put a tree up this weekend.
Fake or real?
It's real.
White lights or different sparkly color lights?
White lights.
Okay.
I've never been a colored light person. Are you? I don't know if you're allowed
to
say
that.
Yeah,
I tried to dance that around.
In 2017, I don't know if you're allowed to use the
clear
word.
Clear or not clear, I think, would be the PC term.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, so we get white lights and... Yeah, we got an eclectic sense of style, so we have been accruing some ornaments, I guess that's what they are. So, yeah, it's nice.
I guess that's what they are.
We put them up. We had a tree once when we lived back in Virginia Beach, and it was very small, so we have upgraded to, like, full-size tree this year. So
very good.
Good time. It hasn't fallen over yet. The dog hasn't eaten it yet, so, hey, we are progress.
Do you see the tweeted picture of here's why you don't put lights on palm trees?
Yeah.
No, what happened?
I'll hit you in the DMs.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to bleep it out.
It looks inappropriate.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. You
probably
will see that.
sort of phallic in nature.
Rest assured. Rest
if
assured.
You will. Has to be a coconut palm, I guess. Huh.
Okay. What do we have on the docket tonight, Logan?
What's the matter with you?
All right, so let's get back to, you know, really this podcast bread and butter, Coaching Carousel talk. I think, for the most part, the Coaching Carousel has stopped spinning, boys.
It's I don't know. There's no – are there jobs left? I don't know of any jobs left.
Did Georgia Southern fill their job? I mean, I don't know of, like,
yeah, they
jobs
hired the – they did that a while back. That was 3-4 weeks ago.
There's going to be at least one school who fires a coach after a bowl game.
Probably.
There's got to be. Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's just too many schools in a bowl game that, I mean, you got to play the odds here. At least one of them's going to make the dumb decision to, like, all right, we're going to have the whole pool to ourselves. It's going to be Adult Swim.
Right.
And you're gone, and we get our pick of the crop. And it'll,
you get there's a tantalizing group still available. You got Kevin Sumlin, you got Jim McElwain. So, you know.
Pick your poison.
What are you into? You know, things could get weird either way. Things will get weird either way. But, yeah, so Oregon hired Mario Cristobal as their head coach. He was promoted from offensive coordinator. He's got some head coaching experience. Doesn't have the greatest head coaching record. I think we discussed a little bit last week on the podcast. He was the FIU head coach, I believe.
He took FIU from trash to solid.
Right.
And then they had one crash back year and they fired him.
Classic overreaction.
So,
sure.
I'm excited to see what he can do. I think he's a good coach. He's pretty young, I think, right?
Yeah, I think he's like 40 or something like that.
He had the overwhelming support of the players.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
There was a petition signed and very...
Yeah, he's only 47.
Okay.
Yeah, his first year at FIU, they were 1-11 in 2007, and then they were 8-5 in 2011. So,
okay. Yeah, so I mean, I think, yeah, he's been well regarded. I know he was on Saban's staff before he was at Oregon, and he's an offensive line coach, and a lot of people give him a lot of credit for the success in recruiting that Oregon had under Willie Taggart, too, or a good chunk of the credit. I mean, he's obviously got to work with some high-level recruiters and has South Florida connections and stuff, which I'm sure helps all around, but that could be interesting to see if they can keep up. I know Oregon did have a... Seems like things got a little bit messy towards the end of Willie Taggart out recruiting for Oregon while pretty much negotiating with Florida State. And, yep. You know, as things are wont to go in that situation, there's really no good way to handle it. But, yeah, so we'll keep our peepers peeled there. I don't know if Jim Leavitt is going to stay as the defensive coordinator. That seems to be up in the air. If he might come to Florida State, he interviewed or had been rumored to maybe be taking the Kansas State job, but I see that Bill Snyder has announced that he's coming back for another season.
So. He will do whatever he pleases. Thank you very much. I bet Brady Hoke would go coach some defense at Oregon again.
Again. That went really
maybe
well
hope that
2 years
just
ago.
Forgot, you know? I wasn't here long enough to make an impression, was I?
Brady Boke back in town.
Right. I'd love to see him just like grow out a weird goatee. Like, guys, they'll never know it's me.
Yeah. He needs to go with the Ben McAdoo look. Like the vintage Ben McAdoo look.
Oh, yeah.
Ben McAdoo, the strategery of just completely changing all the hair above your neck.
Keeping the mustache. Keeping the really gross, like questionable mustache, but then just going like slicked back hair out of nowhere.
Yeah, but the hair makes it look different. Like
that's
it's
true.
Questionable in a different way now because of the gelatinous mass on his dome.
The Levitard show is really going to be struggling moving forward now that Ben McAdoo's got fired because he was a big part of their looks like game that they like to play. Ben McAdoo looks like the manager of a struggling hot tub depot. Like sick, so true. Definitely.
Yeah.
Ben McAdoo looks like a pro bowler from ESPN Classic.
Oh, absolutely.
Like come on. I mean there's so many good ones. So yeah, that was McAdoo talk. Speaking of coaching carousel. Anything other items you want to talk about on the coaching carousel? I think Pruitt is putting his staff together at Tennessee. I haven't really been keeping a super close eye on that. I'm sure he's going to get some dogs on the recruiting trail.
Someone hired Memphis's offensive coordinator, right?
Jimbo.
Jimbo did.
Jimbo hired Memphis's offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit, which sounds... I mean, that could be interesting. I know Jimbo, to date, has called his own plays. So my question is sort of going to be, is he completely changing his approach? Because we talked about, I think he needs a bit of a reset. As far as maybe being more of a CEO type coach and a little bit less completely in on play calling, but that guy knows how to dial it up. If indeed he was the play caller at Memphis, which I'm assuming he was.
I mean, I mostly agree with you that it has to be an actual change and not just a new name on the door for it to have any sort of effect. But if you're going to make a change, pretty tough to beat that move in terms of an OC you could realistically get and work with immediately. So we'll see.
I mean, because Moorhead got hired at Mississippi State, but he would have been someone that I would have thought would be like your next hot offensive coordinator name. So, and I guess Matt Canada is still employed at LSU, correct? There have been some weird rumblings in the middle of the
just wait, give it a couple weeks, he'll be coaching the New York Football Giants, Logan.
We would
a
love
football
that.
Mind like that can't stay down under the big chair forever.
Right. OBJ on the end around? You kidding me? Man, I can see it coming.
Just all the jet sweeps.
So many jet sweeps. All right. So, yeah, that puts a stamp on that. We'll come back to it as we need to. Playoff rankings remain unchanged. You guys got any new playoff thoughts?
No. I guess it'll be interesting just from a media perspective to see how much they try, since we are in the sports media, how much our peers try to cook up the Alabama-Clemson trilogy drama.
Pretty hard.
Yeah. I don't think there should be a whole lot. I don't think a semifinal matchup warrants it quite as much as a title game. And they're just missing a lot of different pieces. you know, Deshaun Watson's not there. Lane Kiffin wasn't there last year either. But it just feels like kind of a lot of new faces. And I'm not buying this whole trilogy stuff. So don't try and sell it to me.
I would say that's a hell of a matchup.
Oh, no, it's going to be a great game.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't think it needs the extra emphasis put on it, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm excited for healthy Alabama against that Clemson team, because that Clemson team is, we talked about it, battle-tested this year. They played one of the hardest, if not the hardest, schedules in the country, and probably obviously did really well. Managed to lose to Syracuse. Of all the random games to lose, they lost to Syracuse, but...
Yep, Clemsoning. It's back, baby.
And then the other game, I don't know. Like you don't hear a whole lot, but that is such a clash of styles, Georgia and Oklahoma.
I'm really excited to see that
game. I think it's going to be really fun, especially if Oklahoma is able to move the ball on Georgia the same way they're able to move the ball in Ohio State. Because then that puts a lot of pressure on Georgia to score points. So,
well, and like Oklahoma, like the thing about Georgia that was so impressive is they got the tar beat out of them, or Gus used a different word, but
whipped them.
Yeah. So, like, the first time they saw that kind of, like, weird, different offense, but they were able to adjust very well in between matchup one and matchup two. The problem here is they don't get the extra couple weeks of tape review and practices, so it's going to have to be, like, I think Oklahoma, at least initially, should be able to come out and move the ball fairly well. I think it'll just come down to how well can Georgia get up to speed.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, I think that Georgia team, I believe, should be able to move the ball in Oklahoma pretty well, too. But the kind of offense they run is a little more prone to maybe going, you know, if you go three and out once and Oklahoma just runs down the field and scores, that really changes the complexion of the game with, especially looking at Mayfield and having a freshman quarterback and needing to score points.
Certainly, Oklahoma plays from behind much better. Is much, much better set up.
Yes,
so.
Which is why I hope this is just a nuts game all around.
Yep.
I think it could be fun. So.
Yeah, I think I'm more excited for this game than the Alabama-Clemson game, personally.
Yeah, I would think so. From a stylistic...
From a stylistic and like potential for bananas.
Yep, agreed.
Right, whereas like I think Alabama-Clemson could just be just two, and basically just, like NFL teams lining it up.
Like that game's not going to surprise you as much. And if it does surprise you, it'll probably be in a negative direction.
Yeah.
So
it's,
you know, manage your expectations accordingly, listeners. But we'll.
Oh, and the nerd in me is interested to see what Clemson can do against Alabama, especially if their defense is healthy. Because Clemson really doesn't do a whole lot of super creative things on offense. They run a lot of passes into the flats, and they have really good athletes, and they run a lot of they utilize tempo pretty well, which we saw them do basically to perfection against Alabama last year.
Yeah.
But you know, if Alabama can string things out the way that you'd think they could, and then maybe keep the ball a little longer, it'll be interesting to see if Clemson is able to be more aggressive down the field instead of relying on big runs after the catch. So anyhow, we got plenty of time to talk about this. We really don't need to be diving into this just yet. So, speaking of exciting and fun games, Jason, the Dukes played this weekend on TV again. It was exciting. I don't know if it was fun, but it was exciting.
Yeah, it was a little more exciting than we probably hoped for, but
got the heart rate up.
It did. A little easier when you come out on the winning side.
Right. What did we think of the black purple black combo, Jordan?
It looked better on TV than it did on Twitter.
Agreed.
I'll agree.
That's all I'll say.
No, that's...
just continue, Jason. Just continue.
I didn't make that graphic. I don't care. It's fine with me.
Oh, yes. I'm here for sassy Jason.
it was a very... I won't say well-played game. I think, Jamie, you made a lot of mistakes. But the fourth quarter was fun and well-played.
Yeah.
Sure.
Some pretty crazy catches made on both sides. No, it was a really good game. They were a tough matchup for JMU. Weber State was. They were kind of the only... Well, it's them and North Dakota State are the two teams that are kind of mirror images of us. Really stout defense. Enough offense to get by. That sort of thing. Kind of big physical teams. But, my spin would be that good teams find a way to win when... They don't have their best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
JMU certainly didn't have its best stuff.
Give me that coach speak, baby.
I got you.
Woo.
I got you. And they reached down deep inside and, you know, pulled it out.
Football is a 60-minute game.
Tell
our team
what?
Showed up and was prepared to play all 60, and they did.
Right.
And I'm proud of them.
Did we ever determine whether Weber State was affiliated with the Mormon Church or not?
I believe they were founded in the Mormon Church, but I don't know that they're still affiliated.
Okay, so I could only watch from midway to in the fourth quarter on, which is the perfect time to pick up the game.
Yep.
A couple of things I picked up on. Their head coach is the brother of BYU's head coach.
Yes.
The Sataki boys,
as
they are known
Sataki.
In the Wild Wild West.
and on their birth certificates, but yes, gotcha.
And by the government. The Weber State quarterback was like 24 or 25 years
25,
old.
25, he'd just
so
come
think,
back from a mission.
Yeah, so I think he's got some mission background. So I guess like my best estimate was that maybe they're not officially Mormon, but given the nature of where they're located,
they
have a lot of overlap,
sure,
if you will.
That's what I thought. So they were founded by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But now I believe...
Then they went rogue.
Yeah.
Started putting
In
Dr. Pepper in the school cafeteria.
The Utah legislature passed a law to acquire Weber College from the LDS Church, and now they're a public university.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Weber State. All right, well, good to know.
Yeah.
So,
talking Latter-day Saints.
They're a real good team.
Yeah.
It was a good win. We got a tough one on Saturday.
Duke's getting a lot of shine on ESPN these days, too, which is pretty nice to see.
It's true.
They're talking about him on CFB Live. A lot of people picking the Dukes, so...
Yep.
That's cool. Who
Dan Patrick shouted us out.
Oh, love a Dan Patrick shout
out.
Classic DP.
Yeah.
What was also ironic was that JMU almost got knocked out by the wheel route.
They did. God, that hurt.
Just
an 81-yard touchdown on a wheel route.
Mm-hmm.
God.
You can't cover it.
That
linebacker can't get there.
No.
If the ball is thrown right,
safety
you can't be covering
it.
Yeah, our safety got caught at the last second going between an interception and just knocking the dude out, but then he thought he was going to get there early and ended up overrunning it. And so, it was...
I mean, if you're going to overrun it, you better go ahead and get your money's worth.
I was
going
to say, take the 15 yards.
Take that targeting, baby.
Yep.
Take that targeting. So.
But, no, that one stung. But, hey, got the dub. Redshirt freshman, Ethan Radke. 46-yarder. He looks like he's 12. He's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. That tweet was hilarious. Like,
yeah.
Ethan
shouts out to Dan Steinberg. DC Sports Bug. That was my favorite tweet of the night.
Yeah, that was a good one. All right.
Non-sit by Jason Kreck.
While we're on, JMU Sports tweets, who chose the picture of...
This topic is...
Yeah, like this one right here. It's right in your tweet deck.
Yeah.
The picture of Mike Houston wearing sunglasses for the graphic.
That's all we've got.
Yeah, but it looks so strange.
Why does that look strange? Coaches wear sunglasses.
But there's no indication that he's outside. He's on a graphic. Like, it's just...
You need context for your sunglasses?
Kind of, like...
Why do you demand proof of sun from...
Well, I like to see the guy's eyes.
Well, he
doesn't
wear sunglasses. Or he doesn't not wear sunglasses.
He doesn't not wear sunglasses.
Yeah, I write for a living. It's definitely he doesn't not wear sunglasses.
Okay.
I know this.
Well, I had some beef with the stylistic. Maybe it was my freshman year of yearbook class with Mary Strickler. I just didn't appreciate the
think of all the
photo quality.
Okay, if we're going toe-to-toe my stylistic stuff with Mary Strickler's stylistic stuff, I'm okay with that. I'm going to take that coaching matchup.
I mean, I took computer graphics with Miss Brooks, so I think I'm actually the one here who knows what they're talking about.
You were
about,
the first among us to use Photoshop. That's
real training in Photoshop. I made
a
pretty sweet tree frog with a chameleon head on it. It's awesome.
Not to brag.
But that graphic was... We didn't actually talk about this in coaching changes. We could talk about that.
Did you have this in the notes?
I did not, but I mean, I figured we had sort of a Duke's segment to talk on.
Right.
I figured it would come up.
Yeah.
Jason,
Plus,
do you want to do the honors, or would you like me to bumble through it and tell the people what I know?
Here, real quick,
Can
we? Who's JMU got next week, Jason?
Oh, yeah. So JMU hosts the semifinals at 4:30 on Saturday against South Dakota State.
Oh.
The Dakota
boys are really doing
the Jackrabbits.
Ugh. Terrible.
Yeah. But they're completely different from Weber State. They actually have a tight end who is like genuinely considered the best tight end in college football at any level.
He's like a real Logan Thomas type.
Nicely played. Well done. So he's going to get drafted in like the top two rounds. They have a stud wide receiver, a stud quarterback. They don't play a lot of defense.
Good.
But they got a really good offense. So I am actually of the opinion that they're a better matchup for JMU.
It sounds eerily similar to last year's semifinal.
The quarters against Sam Houston.
Oh, that was quarters. Yeah. My bad.
But that one ended well. So if it ends anything like that, that'll do well. But... yeah, so I don't think they're quite as high-powered nor as globetrottery on defense, but similar to that.
Gotcha.
But yeah, should be a fun one. I'll be in Miami for the game. I have retired from JMU football tweeting for the year.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're on ready to cut loose on the personal account.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Things are going to get wild.
He's on to basketball season.
Yep. But... should be a good one. If we win there 3 weeks from now, we play the national title game. Most likely against North Dakota State because they are playing Sam Houston State in the other semifinal. And I think that's fixing to get ugly.
Is that at North Dakota State?
It's in the Fargo Dome.
In the Dome. So weather not as big of an issue as it was in Harrisonburg last year.
Maybe they can run to them. But we shall see. But
all right, very good.
Still a big day for the Dukes.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will, when we're not watching the AutoNation Cure Bowl, we'll make sure we flip over to the Dukes playing.
Whatever happened to Picture in Picture, man?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could really use that at this point.
That's like the one good innovation from the 2000s.
Maybe they just figured we have so many screens now that we didn't need to go Picture in Picture, what with all the screens we have
at our
disposal.
But we do need more Picture in Picture is the thing.
Yeah. We all got these big screens, too.
Right.
I mean, listen, I used to play, like, four-player Halo from, like, across a room on a 20-inch TV, okay? Right. So, like, listen, I can see a small screen. Okay. On that note, let's recircle back to coaching talk. News! Breaking news out of Harrisonburg.
Yeah.
One of the nation's hottest coaching prospects has been locked up long-term.
Locked up, locked down, locked sideways, frontwards, and backwards for 10 years, brother.
Wow. 2027 is a long time from now.
Mike Houston's name on the extension through 2027.
Yep.
There were a lot of excited Dukes fans, alum, employees on the tweets today, which was fun to see.
Yep.
Hopefully the players will have some more peace of mind going into the semifinal game. They don't have to worry about Coach Houston up and leaving for Georgia State anymore. They can at least rest assured that he'll be there, you know, through the championship game at least. So good on the Dukes.
Right.
Hopefully threw in a hefty inflation to the buyout portion of that contract to get a little bit more of a finder's fee when Mike Houston gets hired by where do I have him going?
So
excited. I like Texas Tech.
Ooh.
I like him at Texas Tech. When
I'm gonna say I would list that as doubtful geographically.
He's not a Texas guy.
I don't think he'll go that far. No.
So, he's more of a Carolina.
So he'll take
over
North Carolina.
So he'll take over for South Carolina when old Big Bill Muschamp explodes. Or implodes.
Just detonates.
Which is coming.
When his batteries leak too much acid. Just
right. We didn't talk about this, but Big Bill Muschamp is hiring a new offensive coordinator. I know you guys find this surprising. But
what's the
new
coordinator's name?
Well, he doesn't have a new one yet, I don't think. Oh. They fired Kurt Roper, the same guy who also got fired with him when they all got fired from Florida.
So he's right on schedule for like a third year exit.
I mean, they made a bowl game. It's South Carolina. The expectations are, I gotta hand it to South Carolina. Like, they got realistic expectations, realistic fans. Like, they've had a good year, and that's good. Will Muschamp's a good fit at South Carolina.
I don't know, man. Like, I would have to, if I was a South Carolina fan, it wouldn't sit well with me that we went from just beating the pants off of Clemson every year and like owning that state to now like Clemson's in the playoff every year and we're just kind of like, yeah, 7 wins maybe, that's great, and we have an absolute lunatic as a head coach who I know.
Could be worse. They lost to the Citadel 2 years ago, so
right, with an absolute lunatic as a head coach.
That would be an interesting storyline. No. if
I don't think he was the coach then. This is only his second year.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the interim.
That was the exit of whomever.
But. Oh, it was that guy after Spurrier.
Spurrier just left midseason.
Yeah, Spurrier just
And they had an interim for the rest
Spurrier of the left like week 3 of this podcast. It was crazy.
That's right.
True, yeah.
we lost our wits. We were just like, wait, we're just figuring out how to do this thing. And
our muse abandoned us.
Our college football grandfather just up and chucked the deuces on us.
But yeah, Mike Houston ran the triple option on him and won.
Oh. So,
yeah. It's good times.
He's proved he can do it multiple
ways.
Anyways,
10 years.
What's that buyout number? Have they announced it?
Nope. That number is
so we're breaking news on this podcast.
That number is not public.
But it's public in Jason's brain.
Nope.
Yep. You want another beer, Jason?
Nope.
I'm going to give you a Bell's 2.4 million hearted ale.
Would you like it colder or warmer than 2400,000 degrees?
We could take away 1 degree for each season remaining on the contract, maybe, of the beer.
That'd be a fun game.
We could turn it into a drinking game.
Guys, side note,
don't play drinking games, guys. No, this is a family-friendly podcast.
I've never played one.
So. But no, I think...
I never lost one.
True. Dude, I'll get you like 7 beers in me, and then I'm unbeatable at Quantum Pro. Unbeatable, okay?
What are we even talking about?
Talking about Mike Houston's buyout of $7.8 million. But it reduces. It's a gradual step down across the years.
No, I think...
please credit the Wheel Route podcast.
I think JMU was getting some negative recruiting. I think people were saying several schools that we recruit against, mostly FBS, were talking about how Coach Houston was going to leave like January 1. And so he wanted to clear that up. 10 years, it's good.
Makes sense all around.
It's a good deal, yeah. I think everybody comes out ahead.
Is JMU going to be playing CUSA football within 10 years, Jason?
I don't know.
In your opinion?
I don't know if CUSA is going to exist in 10 years. In my opinion, it shouldn't.
Is JMU going to be playing FBS football in 10 years?
Yes.
Would you, if you had to wager a guess, I mean, I'm just...
If,
I'm
it's
not,
the
actually,
right, if it's the right scenario, absolutely.
I'm not looking for you to break any news here. I'm just wondering if
I don't
what,
say
yes. what your read
in
on
my opinion
is.
And this opinion, I want to be clear, doesn't speak for JMU athletics at all.
Never has.
But I don't think that. I think the MAC is so stable and is kind of out there in Ohio, and I don't think Sun Belt and Conference USA are set up in a way that is beneficial to our athletics department.
What about the American?
I think if the American called at
you
tonight,
take that.
I think if the American called at on December 13th at 9 a.m., we would be a member of the American Conference at 9:05 a.m.
I like the American Conference. They got some like
nifty
fun
conference.
Stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean Conference USA stretches from UTEP, which is literally the western corner of Texas,
to Norfolk, Virginia. Right.
And that's not like everybody only thinks about football, but you got to fly a soccer team out there, and you got to fly a lacrosse team out there, and you got to fly 2 basketball teams, and
after
everybody...
a while, they're just going to pare it down and be like, all right, our soccer teams are going to have their games FIFA, Xbox Live, and that's how we win. It's going to turn into esports, everything but football.
But no,
well,
and I think
if
everybody
JMU moves up, they'll just cut those sports, right?
Yeah, that's not a big deal.
To make way for the...
JMU has such a long, proud history of successfully cutting, but... No, I think, I mean, everybody, like, when ODU moved up and when Charlotte moved in and all that stuff, they joined a conference that every school is getting about $1.2 million from TV every year. And then the TV bubble burst, and now they're getting about $200,000. And $1 million every year to an athletics department is a huge amount of money. It's an entire travel budget. And so
that's like 2 or 3 of you, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely only 2 or 3.
It's like 1.5, but, maybe.
I mean,
my tweets are worth a lot more.
That's a lot of... That's several coaches. Yeah. That's several trainers. Oh, yeah. That's several...
That's a lot of pre-rap. Yeah,
that's a lot of stuff. So, I would be surprised if we joined Conference USA as it currently stands.
Gotcha.
I think there's almost zero chance we join Sunbelt as it currently stands. But hopefully, and there's starting to be whispers of this, hopefully they both of those conferences realize they aren't sustainable and sort of melt and remake into two new conferences. Because I laid this out, I drew it up on my wall the other day, but...
Oh, man.
I went full A Beautiful Mind on it. But if you take essentially the Eastern schools from those two conferences, call it Western Kentucky, App State, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, FAU, FIU, Coastal Carolina, Charlotte, Marshall, ODU, and then James Madison and Towson, that's a pretty solid conference. And your longest road trip is Baltimore to Miami, which is not nothing, don't get me wrong, but you make the Florida swing in one road trip, and you're done.
Right.
And so...
And all the Florida schools are located, like, within 45 minutes of each other, too.
Exactly. So that's an easy... and so, I believe... And I think it's more conducive to travel. It's got a lot of natural rivalries.
You got to throw Stetson in there for baseball.
Well, sure. Who doesn't want the Hatters? but it's got natural rivalries. JMU App State, JMU ODU, Towson ODU... Etc.
Boy, don't let Lane loose in Harrisonburg. You're asking for trouble.
Yeah, it's true. Anyways, you know, whoever's listening to this podcast, I know there's several ADs that listen to this podcast. I think it'd be best if we do this.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's interesting perspective. I was just throwing out Conference USA as like.
No, I mean, that's just what it is now.
A generic, you know, FBS middling to low level conference that seems to absorb teams like this when it's
certainly
time
low
to,
level. No, yeah, I mean, that was always the talk of, you know, when there was the talk of Houston moving up to the Big 12, which they absolutely should have, and the Big 12 is selfish. Then the AAC pulls from Conference USA, and Conference USA takes JMU and Towson.
Yep.
That was always the rumor. I don't know that there was ever any truth to it, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they just couldn't take Houston's academics with schools like Texas Tech.
Right. Exactly. Proud. Yeah. but I also very much warn everybody off when I say that anybody who tells you they know what college sports is going to look like in 5 or 10 years is lying to you or themselves, because there are too many variables.
Except for the three of us. We very much
we exactly know what's going to happen.
Don't trust anyone else.
But no.
We know where Justin Fuente will be.
Right. We've already told Houston. You. Yep. We've already told you. Search your feelings.
First reported in 2017. these guys were on it early, I tell you. Should have been listening.
Who do they know?
Okay, let's move on to bowl games.
Thank you for everybody listening to my just giant segue, but...
No, Jason, I actually found it enlightening.
Good.
All right, bros, let's pick some bowl games.
Heck yes.
Take us away, Jordan.
So what we're going to do here, we are going to pick winners for all of the bowls except the New Year's Six and the CFP title game. I guess the semifinals get folded into the New Year's Six.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we have 5 games scheduled for Saturday, December 16th. We're going to pick winners for those 5. And then when we record our next episode, we're going to give you the rest of the winners. And then our episode after that probably will get into the nitty-gritty of the spread and the New Year's Six. So just looking at Saturday, December 16th. Right now, we're going to open it up with the RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl, or Nolens Bowl, or New Orleans Bowl, or there are many different pronunciations. We could be here forever. But
why don't we just call it the Beignet Bowl? Isn't that just a better name?
Yeah, but people... Well, I feel like a lot of people would get Cafe really crossed Dumont up when Bowl. They saw that word on paper.
The hell is a Beignet?
The beige net. Is that a beige net?
That's a fair point.
So, I can say RNL carriers New Orleans Bowl, though.
That's true.
This game kicks off at 1 p.m. Eastern. It pits Troy against North Texas. Jason gets to start off. We are picking winners. No spreads involved.
I'm going to take the Trojans.
Troy held on to their coach. I thought he was going to be... It might have been a year early to expect him to move to a definite big job, but he's got to be top of the list for next year.
I would think.
Yeah.
Troy's a good team.
I'm going to go Troy as well. North Texas had a good year, but they got smoked by Lane twice. And, you know, going up against another good coaching prospect, that's probably not a recipe for good news.
I once went to, I think my first away from home summer camp was at Troy. It was Troy State University at the time when I lived in Alabama. So give me the Trojans.
All right. 2:30 p.m., we have the Auto Nation Cure Bowl. We have Western Kentucky.
Hold on. Is Auto Nation Cure, and that's, is that the entire sponsor?
Is that a company? No, it's Auto Nation is the company.
Right.
But I think it's the Cure Bowl. All
right.
Yeah.
I didn't know. These are important things to know for my picks.
They are.
What is it? Is it? Are they raising money for a cure?
A cure, Logan.
Yeah. So
it's like the Michael Artemis Maurice.
Did you hear the full cast episode on this?
No, I did not regret it.
They're doing their 40 for 40 again, which is just you know, we rarely plug other pods on this on this beloved, esteemed show, but this is one we'll plug. So they do a little mini episode for every bowl game, and their big thing was like, are we curing an Auto Nation disease? Is Auto Nation the plague?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Anyhow.
She caught the Auto Nation.
She got the Auto Nation.
The Auto Nation Cure Bowl, 2:30 p.m., Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers against Georgia State. I am going to take Western Kentucky and White Mike to beat, is it the Panthers?
The Panthers.
Yeah.
Atlanta's 19th favorite college football
team. I'm a very good college football fan. I know mascots. Logan.
I'm gonna take Western Kentucky. Sorry.
I'm gonna take former CAA member Georgia State, although I don't want to. I don't like it.
You just did. All right. We move west to a beautiful city in Nevada, the Las Vegas Bowl. We have nationally ranked Boise State, the Broncos, with a loss to the Hoos, still in their column.
At home on Friday night.
Is it? It's not at home.
No, it's in Vegas.
It's in Vegas.
Well, no, the loss to the Hoos was at home on Friday night.
Yeah, well, everybody knew that, obviously.
Sorry, you're right.
So, Boise State, ranked Boise State, taking on the Oregon Ducks, 3:30 p.m. The Ducks, I guess they'll have their coach there. Crystal ball's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Correct.
Logan, you get to start us off.
This is interesting because I think there's a lot of emotion at play for Oregon, and Oregon's been playing a lot better since Herbert came back and has actually been playing.
Yeah.
Although Boise State seems to really have found their groove as well. They played really well down the stretch. So I'm going to take Oregon here based on relative talent level and general stick it to Willie Taggartness.
I like that.
I like that trait. Also, Justin Herbert is back, and they're really good with him. So I'm going to take Oregon.
I'm going to take Boise State because I value consistency and not getting goofy emotionally.
Stay on hashtag brand.
Yeah, I just think like
not getting goofy emotional.
Yeah, the whole like stick it to Willie thing. Yeah, I'm sure there's some of that, but like Boise State is not going through any like shifts, any uncertainty. It's just like, okay, we got 15 practices to like really put it on the Ducks. Also, Boise State, one of the best brands in terms of cooking up something a little fun for a bowl game or for
right.
For,
you know, this is stage. A fun matchup because I mean Oregon's offense actually when Herbert's playing is really fun as well.
Yeah,
they run the ball really well out of the shotgun, which is always fun to see.
Yep. Our fourth game of the day, 4:30 p.m. the Gildan New Mexico Bowl, one of the Most well-known producers of events, t-shirts, Gildan sponsoring the New Mexico Bowl. We have Marshall, the Thundering Herd, and the Colorado State Rams. Jason.
Give me the herd. I'm gonna take the herd.
All right, I'm gonna take Mike Bobo and the Rams, as long as he runs the dang ball. I appreciate they opened a very nice new stadium this year that was featured in a week zero matchup on ESPN, I believe. They have like a Fat Tire beer garden out there.
Wow.
Which is pretty baller. Jeez, so
pretty nice.
Give me
I'm gonna take the Rams as well. I think they might be going through some defensive coordinator turmoil. I saw a rumor that they had offered Charles Kelly, former Florida State defensive coordinator, that job. Which is quite the rehab assignment for Mr. Kelly.
Yeah.
But that, you know. So, anyhow, other than that, I think Colorado State is just a better, more talented team than Marshall.
Yeah.
They'll be playing so close to home, too.
Right. Playing in a familiar mountain state, mountain environment. They're different mountains than the ones at West Virginia.
Yeah, the ones at West Virginia, though, if you flatten them out, like, this state would be bigger than Texas, which is crazy.
Look, it's about the angles, right? So you're...
The volume underneath it's the
degree of slope.
Right.
All right, we finish Saturday, December 16th, off with the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl.
Which is just a very uninspiring name all around, right. I gotta say. The Raycom Camellia Bowl.
Raycom
Media.
This does have a great mascot matchup, though.
Do you know it?
It is the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders and the Arkansas State Red Wolves.
Nicely done.
Good use of a color, like unnecessary coloring. Right. I like that.
Right. Well, you know, the nondescript Raiders are the pros, so you got to get specific. You got to pick a side.
Texas Tech is the Red Raiders.
Right.
Middle Tennessee is the Blue Raiders.
Right. Bloods Crips. There you go. You got yourself a rivalry. I'm going to take Arkansas State, just because that's further south, and the South usually plays faster football. Logan.
Well, Arkansas State did. They were scared of Miami, who got that game postponed earlier this year, so we would have really got a good look at Arkansas State. But Hurricane Irma and other hurricanes had different plans.
Irma.
I'll go ahead and take Arkansas State as well. They seem like a little bit more of a known commodity to me, which is a bizarre thing to say in this matchup.
I'll change it up. I'll take the Blue Raiders.
Nice, Jason.
I have no analysis to be had here. Let's go Middle Tennessee State.
It's just a gut feeling. The best way to gamble is with your gut.
Exactly. I just feel it.
Middle Tennessee State, are they in the Conference USA?
That or the Sun Belt. I forget which.
I think they're in Conference USA for some reason. Oh, right. No, you're right. Because they were really good at basketball last year, right?
They are in CUSA.
They are in Conference USA.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Good for them.
I knew it was one of them.
Right.
So those are the five bowl games you guys have to look forward to on the 16th. Get back in football watching shape, because after that it is going to be an avalanche of brands and sponsored games and gift bags. SB Nation had a good article up detailing some of the more intriguing gift rankings. So shout out to, I believe it was Morgan Moriarty. Sup?
Yep. Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast.
Morgan
Sup?
Moriarty.
That's a fun
Florida read. Grad. She's a Florida grad.
Go Gators. She a Gator?
Yeah, just like everyone who works at SB Nation.
Right. Just long-suffering Florida grads.
Right. But yeah, that's the Saturday 5, as we like to call it in the biz.
Right. Very good. And we also got the JMU game on Saturday as well.
Right. Do we have a line on that?
It opened at JMU -3, so I've been told by...
Oh, give me the Dukes!
Yeah, come on. Please.
Home field
advantage.
That's
just sticker shock after a rough performance last week.
They think it's a toss-up.
JMU didn't play as well as they could last week. If they play better, they'll torch this group of jokers.
I'm inclined to agree.
All right. My man. All right, guys, let's break it in for another installment of our new favorite thing to do on this pod. This is Remember That Guy, one of us, we need to get a sounder for this.
Yeah, but, this definitely needs to be a hit.
Yeah.
In which one of us, it'll be me again.
Spoiler, it's
going to be give some clues as to a player from our past. Jordan, this one might be tough for Jordan. I was texting earlier, some clues about this guy's age. He just turned 40. So he
Bring
was
it on,
18.
Bro.
He was 18 a while ago.
All right,
ago.
So I think the way we should structure this is after each clue, each of us should get a guess.
I like this. Yeah.
Just okay. So we're not just like throwing names out. Yeah. There has to be some order to the chaos.
All right, I'm going to give the first clue is he played at Ohio State University from, well, I guess it was probably from 96 to 99.
I was going to say, it had to be late 90s.
Craig Krenzel.
Yeah. Craig Krenzel still plays. Craig Krenzel played in the 2001 National Championship.
Way
Jordan, gosh, get it together.
I'm throwing Jason off his game already.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
I'm on tilt. I'm angry. See, that was well after Herb Street.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not Herb Street. Is that your guess?
Yeah, that was his guess.
Yeah, it counts.
All right, he played in the NFL for the New England Patriots. He was a first-round draft pick in the 1999 draft, taken number 28 overall, showing that the Patriots were drafting at the end of the first round, even in 1999.
Even when they were somehow terrible, they still found a way.
He won the 1997 Dick Butkus Award. He was a consensus All-American in 1997.
Who was that Buckeye when I was 6 years old winning the Butkus Award? So Butkus is for linebackers. Who was the big the linebacker in that division that I'm thinking of is, what was it, Zach Johnson for the Dolphins? That was a guy,
Zach,
right?
Zach Thomas.
Zach Thomas.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
They're both
not Zach Thomas,
names,
regrettably.
Anyway. Yeah.
This wasn't like
he would have been, I believe, a contemporary with, like, LeVar Arrington, right?
Oh, man.
Right around that time.
And LeVar went to linebacker U at Penn State. I do know that.
His career was cut short after injuries. He has a lot of consonants in his last name.
Tim Biakabatupa.
No, that's a running back.
Biakabatupa.
Can we get initials?
Oh, man.
A.K.
AK-47. Andre Kirilenko.
Similar. Close.
Aaron Rodgers. Gosh, a linebacker from Ohio State. This is like so many parts of things that I don't know.
Right, yeah. I mean, this one, like, I remember this guy's name because he has kind of a... I didn't... So, the guy's name is Andy Katzenmoyer. His name is Andy Katzenmoyer. I don't know if you remember him
I've
at
heard
all.
The name.
That's the
I would
first
have
time
never,
I've ever heard that name.
Never gotten.
Well, Jordan, you were like six. I thought of it. I was like, that's a good one. I was like, this is probably gonna be unfair. I'm really relying on Jason to dip back into some like, bizarre dark memories that only I have.
Okay, anyhow, I like the the flex.
Right.
That was good.
Andy Katzenmoyer, 6'3", 260. That's
Gosh,
a big linebacker.
That's a boy. That's when they didn't have to move. They just had to go forwards.
Clog that lane, Paul.
Plug gaps.
Right. Send you guys. Oh, dude, there is a sweet image I just found of this guy. Woo! Man, you guys are going to love this. All right. Oh, it's actually for sale on Amazon. It's an 8x10 photo in mint condition.
What are we talking about?
Is it autographed?
It doesn't appear to be.
We can fix that.
Jordan, I just sent it to you.
All right. Take us home, Logan.
All right. This has been the Wheel Route Podcast. Thank you guys for joining us. As always, you can find the show at The Wheel Route. Go to wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com to send us emails. Go to thewheelroute.com to stream the show, or you can download it from your favorite podcast acquisition service. Otherwise, until we meet again, go Gators.
Go Hoos.
Go Dukes.